The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
After 8 years on the shelves, having sold around 70 million units, Microsoft revamped the Xbox 360, the company hoping to fend off a breed of competitors ranging from Apple to Facebook, funnily enough, companies that were nowhere in gaming when the software maker debuted its latest version 5 years ago. Well, will the new hardware and software introduced be enough of a game changer? Joining us now on the RingCentral phone line to address this question, Stephen Toulouse, industry consultant and author of A Microsoft Life. He's also formerly with Xbox as Director of Policy and Enforcement. Welcome to the program and thanks for joining us, Stephen.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, tell us, does Microsoft make money on the sale of an individual console?
They do. I know that previously when we talk about console generations, that there's always been this concept of sort of the razor blade and razor model where you lose money on one thing and you hope to make it up on the video games. But I think the industry's really changed in the past few years, and now it's much more profitable.
Lots of competition. Great Bloomberg Business Week story saying Microsoft, of course, revamping the Xbox to fend off competitors from Apple to Facebook. Everybody wants a piece of the action.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, when we look at the console market, the idea of a gaming console, what we're really thinking about is competing for people's time, a little bit less than competing against individual things, because at the end of the day, again, we have so much content that's out there that's great, and I think Microsoft is well positioned with that announcement yesterday.
Explain to us how Facebook is in the game, though, because, I mean, the games that Microsoft are going to be marketing, they're nowhere close to things like Farmville.
Well, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. I think there's a very broad swath of games that the Xbox, you know, sort of offers for people. And from casual all the way to the most hardcore games, we often think about an Xbox as a game where you put in a disc and you play a game for many, many, many hours, and it's a very graphically intensive. But there are many, many casual games that the Xbox platform allows for as well that are very similar to the things that Facebook does.
Who is the customer that Microsoft is targeting here? Are they targeting sort of the middle age or close to middle age person who, you know, wants to play hours of video games and will perhaps be a heavy spender, may even use the Xbox for other services? Or are they targeting, you know, the typical gamer that you think of, a little bit younger than that maybe?
Well, here's what I found fascinating about the announcement yesterday, was that I think it's we often sometimes think of these audiences as a zero-sum game. We think of, oh, they're targeting one particular type. What I saw with the Xbox One yesterday is that not only are they targeting, you know, the hardcore gamer, but they're also targeting people who just want to watch Netflix or just want to have a great experience or an innovative experience in the entertainment that they partake in. And I think that's probably the biggest thing coming out of yesterday.
Well, you know, it's funny because it's a lot of people know that they can get these kind of services on their Xbox, but the Xbox has not been the go-to product people buy. I understand it's a hybrid, right? You maybe mainly buy it because you want to play these games, but then you can do these other things. But Microsoft doesn't seem like it's put the emphasis there. Are they afraid they're going to like alienate the hardcore gamers if they're saying, oh, by the way, you can watch Netflix too?
I think that's always a risk, right? Because the hardcore gamer tends to be very, very vocal. But what I heard coming out of yesterday was the fact that they want to focus on the hardcore gamer and they want to satisfy that particular segment of the market. But at the same time, they want Xbox to be that brand that customers think about when they think about, well, gosh, I want to consume my entertainment in a certain way. The Xbox with Kinect allows me to do that in a way that I prefer, and I think that's what they're going for.
Are they going to have to mount some kind of much bigger, more specific marketing campaign to achieve that? I'm thinking of I know the Surface hasn't done that well yet, but I have found their ads very catchy and clever. You know, they've really tried to do that. Are they going to have to do the same thing with Xbox?
Well, I think of all of the divisions in Microsoft, Xbox has the cool factor. I think it has the quote unquote Apple cachet of being a device that people really, really bond to and like to be a part of, especially with Xbox Live. And I think what they're probably going to do is try and build on that and expand on that. So a push in that regard makes absolute sense.
Will Xbox One transform the cable industry?
I personally hope so. I think in a lot of ways that what's happening in the cable industry is really you have this sort of layer of services that's really kind of become very bland and the same. It's hard to differentiate. And I think with something like the Xbox being able to tie into that market gives you some differentiation, that here's a much more powerful device than just the little black box that's your DVR, you know, that sits under the TV. And I think that, again, is really what they're pushing for. Interactivity is going to be much more important.
Let's look at Microsoft more broadly. Where is the company now? Where is it heading? And let's specifically look at the Surface tablet. You know, some people say they were late to the game. Looks to me like it's a beautiful product. It really, a guest yesterday said, well, it's early enough to say it hasn't been a success, but it's not, you know, it's too early to say if it's been a failure. How about broadly where Microsoft is heading?
Well, I think the company itself has always been extremely good at examining what customers' needs are, what customers' wants are, and then trying to create an integrated experience across a variety of different products. We saw this in the past with things like the Microsoft Office Suite, Windows, all working seamlessly. And I think you're going to start to see much more of that in the next few years as it does that push towards, you know, making your phone experience, making your tablet experience, your computing experience, and your Xbox experience all very similar, all very seamless, where your entertainment follows you wherever you go.
Stephen Toulouse, isn't part of Microsoft's problem, and hasn't it been since its inception, that it's trying to be all things to all people? You know, I mean, in a sense it has to, you know, it has to cater for government accounts as well as private accounts as well as home accounts. But is there a danger they're doing this with the Xbox now too? It's trying to be everything to everybody.
I think that's a valid criticism. I mean, you have to be very, very careful when you try to implement something on the scale that I think they're trying to do. And you know, one of the things I can say that is very clear to me is that when I was there, that was something that people took into account. That was actually something people worried about. Are we trying to do too much? And so I think whenever you hit or miss, you know, as long as you're thinking about that, at least as a potential danger, you're probably on the right side of innovation as opposed to the wrong side.
Steve Ballmer, he's come under a lot of criticism. Are some of the steps that are being taken lately suggesting that Steve is heading in the right direction, that the criticism is unwarranted? Does Microsoft need to look at the leadership?
I think I wish I had the qualifications to say he's good or bad from that perspective. I mean, I look at I've been in the room with Steve. I've listened to him talk. The man is incredibly smart. He understands markets very, very deeply. When people point to missteps, when people point to successes, I think at the end of the day, you really have to look at what the results are. I think they're heading in the right direction. I think this concept of moving entertainment to a place where you can access it anywhere at any time on any device. I mean, look at the inclusion they're starting to do with things like Apple's iOS. Like, Xbox has an application called Smart Glass for the iPad and for the iPhone. And I think embracing the way other people use your technology is a right step. And I think those little steps kind of get ignored when we think about missteps.
Stephen, how do you watch television? What do you watch?
Oh, gosh. I consume a lot of television via time shifting through my DVR or watching it on my iPad. I spent a lot of time catching up to shows that I missed when I was a little bit busier in the tech industry.
But would you now put that iPad away and start using an Xbox One?
Oh, I use Xbox, I use my iPad, and I use I use a variety. I don't believe in any necessarily.
So you're saying it could actually be part of many different ways that even one person and one individual will watch TV?
Yeah, I think it points back to that zero-sum game I was talking about. I think people consume their content in a lot of different ways.
Could I ask you?
Well, Microsoft is.
Go ahead. I totally interrupted you. Finish your thought.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think that's what Microsoft is trying to achieve with Surface Phone and Xbox, is to provide all of the ways you can do that.
But you're saying that people will do this across different providers as well. So you're going to be using Apple as well as Microsoft, as well as your cable TV provider. Is there enough income out there for people to have that kind of discretionary spending?
That's a good question, and I think that it's gradual, right? I like, for instance, a year ago, I wasn't consuming this content that way, for instance. So I think it is part of the life cycle of how all of entertainment is moving to completely different places.
Okay. Thank you so much, Steve Toulouse, author of A Microsoft Life. So we're going to continue. We're going to get back to Courtney Donohoe for a look at world and national news. And we'll be speaking to Dave Wilson, our market driver reporter, for the latest on stocks.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.